With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschitz.
What's up, man?
As well as Erica Ramirez.
Hi there.
That was me passing. We're sharing mic. This is really pathetic. So Erica and I are sharing a microphone today. So
why not? I should share a microphone. You're the host of this. Why don't I share a microphone?
We're sitting closer together. It's kind of fun, anyways.
I'm just distant from you guys, I guess.
Whatever. No, I don't want your mushrooms, but thank you. That's really
this is
a sweet
a
offer.
Riveting beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
To the podcast.
Everyone's like, all right, not listening to any more of this. All right, let's start off with something that is exciting. So Drake released a surprise album.
Wait, what?
Yeah, maybe you heard it. It's called If You're Reading This, It's Too Late.
Oh, my God.
And it is I would love Erica to explain because I've been hearing – I mean, you know, you have to pay for this album, yet it's being called the mixtape. Yet it seems like he's doing it to get like another album out of his contract. So what is this, a mixtape or an album?
Dun, dun, dun. So according to the production notes, this is a mixtape. He calls it a mixtape. But yes, it is being sold on iTunes. It is labeled to be under Cash Money Records. So I would assume, it's not confirmed, that I think this is just to knock out another album from the Cash Money contract that he has. He does throw some shots at Cash Money Records saying that he needs some money or needs his money, not necessarily that he needs money.
So, guys, like, I don't think he needs money. Super broke.
Right. So, I mean, I think that might be the case, but yes. Do you want to?
Sure. Yeah. So passing the mic back. So the song Erica picked is Jungle, which is second to last if you're including Bonus. Otherwise, the final track on the album. It's really, I mean, I have to say, I think this is a great song. It's moody and it's kind of lovely. But what I will say overall of the whole album, I'm a little, or mixtape or whatever we're calling it, it's a little too much of Sad Drake for me. Like, this is a very depressing album. Like, there is not, like, one fun song. Although I love Jungle, but, well, okay, maybe the Lil Wayne one actually is pretty great. Otherwise, they are, like, pretty depressive, but I need to pass the mic to you because you're looking angry.
She's so angry.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna hit you with the mic. I don't like. I think it depends on what you mean with like fun. I guess if you mean like more positive or like upbeat songs, yeah, absolutely not. But I feel like there's a lot of like low key club songs, like Risk Behavior, that you could find on this album. Like there's Energy and Know Yourself, and there's a couple songs also midway. I know that Jason has a few of it that also are kind of like Worst Behavior that you could actually kind of hear in the club, not only because it's Drake, but because they're kind of those, they grow on you.
Yeah. I love 10 Bands. I love No Telling. I love Six God. Six God's been out, but.
Yeah. So they're very like boastful songs. They're very like, I'm the only one in the game. F you, I'm the best. And by the way, sometimes I do get lonely though. Like that's really how Drake is. But so there are a lot of those songs. So I agree that if you mean by like not really like positive or upbeat songs, like Take Care or something like that, right. Then yeah. And I mean, the reason I chose Jungle also is because it's pretty much the only like somewhat romantic type of song. Like it's the only really love song that you could say for sure it is a love song. And it's me, and clearly I go for the emo. But I was talking to Jason about this. Like, I like the way that he could have all these songs on one mixtape and like have you go back and forth as far as your feelings go. Like you could be very like angry and boastful, and then he could turn around and make you all emo and get you all in your feelings. And
yeah, I mean, I when I was listening to this mixtape for the first time, and it's like it's an album, but let's call it a mixtape. Mm-hmm. Come on. Because I feel like his album will have more singles. I think this was purposely without kind of radio hits. And I just think Drake just keeps getting better. Like, I know that a lot of people like I think when Thank Me Later came out, I was like, wow, this is a great album. And then, I know you're making a face. Thank Me Later. The thing is, when it came out, it was a really great album. And then Take Care came out, you're like, oh wow, this is so much better than Thank Me Later. And then a lot of people still like Take Care the best, but for me, Nothing Was the Same came out, I was like, wow, this is actually my favorite now. And I don't think this is my favorite Drake project, just because I like having like the singles, like, you know, songs like Hold On, We're Going Home, and Started from the Bottom, and then on Take Care you have stuff like Take Care. And I miss that a little bit with this project, but I still think he's getting better. Like, he's just such a good rapper now. And, like, he's so confident. Like, if you compare the progress he's made as an artist between 2010, like, Thank Me Later wasn't that long ago. It was less than 5 years ago. And now it's, like, a total, total difference. And I love it. I love it so much. And, yeah, Jungle is, like, the 16th song on this album. And it's, you know, it's definitely, like, one of the top five songs on this album.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. To clarify what I was saying, I agree with you, Erica, that there is a lot of, like, lyrical complex. Like, he covers a lot of ground lyrically on this. It's definitely not one note. But kind of touching on what Jason said, I do miss kind of the, you know, like an upbeat song or something. You know, not that Hold On, We're Going Home was necessarily upbeat, but it was a single. It was catchy and nice, you know. And I'm kind of waiting,
I think we'll get that,
for that next, you know, like, radio-ready Drake song. But that being said, like, yeah, this is kind of not a full album. This is more of a stopgap album. So maybe I'm asking for too much from Drake.
Well, I was going to mention something of like, you could tell it is a mixtape just cause it's not as cohesive as his last album. It's not to say that it's better or worse than the other ones. You clearly could see, progression and him, like Jason said, getting better lyrically, and also like really wanting to sing more, like legit wanting to sing, not like Kanye singing where like there's autotune. So that's also something interesting to look at. But some people say they were like throwaway songs, but even that like goes back to the point that he's actually getting better. The fact that you can make such album with like, if they are throwaway songs or songs that didn't make the last or the upcoming album, that just also proves to his talent. But yeah, I mean, I think that I'm excited even more now for like the next album. Like if you could put out an album like this and it be this good, then I wonder what, when he actually like makes this something more cohesive, how it's going to turn out to be.
Cool. Well, let's listen to it. This is Drake, Jungle. The reason you love me. Listen, you can hear them calling my name. I'm all over the place. I can't sit in one place. I'm not ashamed at all. Still finding myself, let alone a soulmate, I'm just saying. Feel like we won in the same. All right, that was Drake's Jungle from his surprise album / mixtape. If you're reading this, it's too late. Next up, let's talk about Imagine Dragons. So we've got Imagine Dragons. They are on the cover of this week's Billboard. They have an album out called Smoke and Mirrors, and the song I chose to talk about is the title track Smoke and Mirrors. So... So I have a lot of feelings about Imagine Dragons. I wouldn't say I'm the biggest fan, but I appreciated that when they kind of broke through, they were bringing a different sound to rock and certainly to radio. Like there was nothing else on the radio like Radioactive. When they returned with I Bet Your Life, I was definitely let down that it was such a Mumford Light sort of thing.
Yeah.
And listening to this new album, I'm kind of getting, not that it sounds at all like Mumford, but it similarly sounds like it's just aping other bands. Like the first song in the album is called Shots. It's very dance rock, which isn't so much their thing. Yeah. And the title track Smoke and Mirrors like really could have been a song written by Coldplay. And it just makes me think, like, do Imagine Dragons need to be the next Coldplay? And I asked myself that question, and then I thought, actually, they do, because Coldplay is retiring after one more album. So they're probably, like, looking at, like, hey, there's a void for soft rock bands. We need to, like, march into that slot. Like anyone who went, like, to Coldplay
concerts,
they're
just, like, in like, a bomb shelter scheming, like, well, Coldplay is, might be breaking up soon. Let's take their crown!
But this song, I mean, this song Smoke and Mirrors, the title track, it's just, like, so anthemic, U2 influenced. I mean, obviously Coldplay's, like, whole career is based on U2. And it's a good song. Like, I have nothing against it. Like, it's well-constructed, it's nice, but it just is kind of, like, why? Like, you came out with a different sound, and now you're doing, like, a light rock thing. It's just weird.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like they don't really... I mean, I'm not as familiar clearly about Imagine Dragons. Anything R&B, that's not R&B or rap, I know nothing of. Except Adele. You guys make it seem, every time we talk about Imagine Dragons, that they're not really sticking to who they are. And it just sounds like they're probably in a state where they are exploring their sound. I don't know. Yeah. You guys tell me.
Man, where you have a lot of feelings about Imagine Dragons, I have very few feelings about Imagine Dragons. And that's not a negative thing toward them. It's just like they are a big lumbering rock band that makes some good songs and some not some so good songs. Like, it's just hard for me to get pumped about Imagine Dragons. It's funny because I didn't really care about them at all in terms of their music and listening to it until I was on a vacation with, this was I guess 2013, with a bunch of friends, and they were like, oh man, Radioactive's like my jam. And I was like, really? Yeah. And I listened to it, like, we listened to it a bunch that week, and I was like, you know what, this is actually a pretty fun song. This is a pretty fun song.
It's a fun
and
tune.
But everything else they've done, I don't know. I kind of agree with you that they just kind of seem to be all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, with like Mumford & Sons, like I'm not a huge Mumford & Sons fan, but at least like you know what you're kind of getting with them.
Right. They deliver pretty consistently.
Yeah. Like if you're a fan of like one Mumford & Sons song, you can kind of see, like it's kind of a gateway into like the rest of them. Imagine Dragons, it's like, I don't really have a good handle on them. They're just like, they strike me as like a, again, like a big lumbering rock band, for better or worse. And yeah, I wasn't a big fan of I Bet My Life either. This one's a little bit better, I guess. It's hard for me to feel passionately about either of these.
I'm just
songs.
I mean, since there are so few rock bands who like have a chart presence right now, I'm curious if they'll have staying power with this. I feel like.
Yeah.
This Even if this album doesn't do so well, I feel like they get one more album where they get that shot, because
it's just the thing about rock bands now is that it just seems like all you need is like one hit and or like one kind of breakout moment, and then you'll be like top of the line like festival band forever. Mm-hmm. Like that because like you said, there's so few rock bands like making a dent. When they do make a dent, it's like, all right, you're insured to be like one of the eight headliners of a alternative festival. Like, look at Foster the People.
Right, I was literally just going to say Foster the People. Like, they had the one song, and they're still, like, top billed on festivals.
Yeah, I mean, we were at Governor's Ball last year, and, like, James Blake and Foster the People were playing at the same time, and I was watching James Blake with Erica and her little brother. And I was like, I had to leave. I had to go somewhere else to do something at the festival, and I walked by Foster the People's crowd, and it was like three times the size as James Blake's crowd. And I was like, what's going on? Like, and again, no offense to Foster the People. I just didn't realize.
Big fans of Foster the People.
But there are rock fans out there. And, you know, once you have that point of entry, as Imagine Dragons does, like at this point, I don't even think Imagine Dragons like needs another hit. Like, they're just like, they're like, they could headline like Lollapalooza next year. Like, why not? Mm-hmm. Like, that. They absolutely could. They could do it in 5 years. It just, you know, once you have that thing, like Phoenix is another one of those bands.
Right.
It's just...
So they're set for life. So it doesn't even matter what they put out. They can...
No, I mean, it's not that. It's just that they're going to...
Let's just talk about Radioactive.
I guess my point is that they're always going to probably make the majority of their money moving forward on the road. And
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Look at Linkin Park, who I have a lot of love for Linkin Park, but like they haven't had a hit in like 10 years, maybe?
But they do, I mean, and I'm not a fan of them either, but they do pretty consistently make albums that their fans love. And I guess what I'm wondering with this is, if you're an Imagine Dragon fan and you just show up, you know, excited for this new album, but it's just a bunch of sound-alike knockoffs, like, are you going to be an Imagine Dragons fan in 2 years? That's what I'm wondering. Like, Linkin Park definitely stuck in their lane and kept mining their very distinctive sound.
Yeah.
Imagine Dragons, not so much, but...
I guess we'll see. Time will tell, Joe.
Only time
will tell.
So let's listen to it. This is... the title track to the new Imagine Dragons album, Smoke and Mirrors. Alright, that was Imagine Dragons. Next up, let's do a Jason pick. Let's talk about the new Sufjan Stevens.
Sufjan!
Song is called No Shade in the Shadow of the Cross.
So, Joe.
Yes.
Let's talk for a sec. Are you a Sufjan fan?
I am a big Sufjan Stevens fan. I, like many people, was a little lukewarm on the 2010 album Age of Ads. However, the album he put out the year before that, the BQE instrumental album, I still listen to very consistently.
Oh, interesting.
I'm a big fan of that. So I'm okay with his experimenting with electronica.
So here's the thing about Sufjan with me. When I would say that no artist more influenced me or had a greater influence on me to become like a music writer than Sufjan Stevens. I know.
That's a big statement.
When... he was peaking at a time when I was starting to really get into indie rock music in high school, and like Seven Swans, Illinois, those albums, like I just thought they were, and Michigan, which I discovered later, I just thought those albums were the shit. Like I just thought I was like, this is like the songwriter of like a generation, like just in terms of what he could accomplish.
Very funny, very original.
Like his arrangements were all excellent. Like, anyway, I say all that because the Age of Odds, he was doing his States project for a while. He took a couple years off. He came back with the Age of Odds and in 2010, which was a very huge departure for him, a grandiose electronic album. And I really hated it. Like, I really, really hated it. I was like, why is... Yeah, I respected him for changing it up. I just didn't like the direction at all. I didn't think it fit him, et cetera, et cetera. So... ever since then, I've been like, man, it's been almost 10 years since Illinois. Like, when will he finally put out something I really like? And
right.
I guess he's finally doing that.
Well, that's true. So this new album coming up is kind of a return to the Seven Swans introspective folk.
Yes.
But that being said, I'm curious what you thought about, because he hasn't been totally quiet. He did his Christmas project.
Yeah, he's
been...
his
rock hip-hop band, Sisyphus,
and that's actually
year.
The kind of the more frustrating thing, is that he hasn't been, like, quiet. He's been doing so many other things except making another Illinois or Seven Swans. And I'm like, no, damn it, like, just... sit down
just
and
make
like,
a good
make,
album.
Make an album that I love, which is totally unfair of me and selfish, but whatever. But again, like, so I, you know, he comes out about a month ago and is like, you know, I'm putting out this album, Carrie and Lowell, which is a more quiet, introspective folk album, and it's dedicated to my late mother and my stepfather. And now you get the first full taste of it with this song, No Shade in the Shadow of the Cross. And I'm like so cautiously excited because this is like exactly what I've wanted for almost 10 years and have been waiting for. And I mean, I love it. Like I'm all about this side of Sufjan's music, and I hope that it can reach my expectations. I wouldn't say like this is a stunning song. Mm-hmm. It sounds more kind of like, instead of like a single, than almost like just kind of like a piece of a whole.
Right.
And I think it'll make more sense in context with the album, but I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped for this one. Like, this has been
pumped
a big year for me. Got a Bjork album, got some Erica's literally laughing at me right now. Got some Sufjan, folk. I mean, it's all good.
I would agree with what you're saying. I think the song really seems like it'll make more sense in the context of an album. Like, you listen to it and it's nice. It doesn't really, it's not an arresting song.
Yeah.
But I think kind of what this is, you know, this is not a tune that's going to win him new fans, but I think what it's going to do is kind of what it is with you, is like bring back people who have strayed, who haven't been crazy about his last couple of projects, and who are waiting to him to kind of, for him to return to basically what he made his name on.
And the thing is, I don't think he cares about like recapturing that fan base. It's just like, this is what he wants to do.
This
right
just
now
happens. Yeah,
and I'm happy that he feels that way.
It might just be totally coincidental. I doubt he's kind of like scheming to win back his fan base, because he really doesn't seem like that kind of artist.
Man.
But well, let's listen to it. So Sufjan Stevens, No Shade in the Shadow of the Cross.
Like my mother, give wings to a stone. It's only the shadow of a cross.
All right, that was the new Sufjan. Next up, let's talk about Kanye West featuring Sia and Vic Mensa. The song is called Wolves.
I just stopped crying.
Yes. So this song debuted on the Adidas, in this like 12-minute Adidas commercial. Or not commercial, whatever the
presentation,
the artistic word for commercial is that they like to use now. And then Kanye performed it on SNL 40 over the weekend, which I thought was just a really incredible performance that made absolutely no sense in the context of that 3.5-hour sketch comedy show. But Eric, I'm going to pass the mic off. What do you think of this?
No, I actually completely agree with you on as far as the performance making absolutely no sense whatsoever. When I first saw the video of the presentation, I didn't really love the song. I think it's because I expected more from Kanye himself. It's supposed to be the first song on the album, which I think is a great choice. I just wish, since it is the first, that he'd come a little stronger and not hide behind his autotune. But again, that's not much of a surprise. But I really like the production. It's a very strong song, but I also I'm in love with Sia and Vic Mensa on this song, and even more so after the SNL performance, especially with Vic Mensa kind of like singing his part in the song. And I know that Jason agrees with me as far as his love for Sia, especially on this song. Like, I know, I think you wrote this up and you mentioned it's kind of like bluesy or kind of like soulful of her. At least
absolutely. I wrote somewhere that this is my favorite thing Kanye's done since Mercy.
Oh, you hate Yeezus.
Yeah, as everyone knows.
That's so crazy.
As everyone knows, I am
a staunch
opponent of Yeezus.
So much for breaking the romance. Now
I
know how.
Well, I'm very surprised. This is a shocking podcast that you like a Drake song and a Kanye song. I'm very surprised.
Anyways, please keep going.
I kid. No, I love this. And I wasn't, you know, we talked about Only One on this podcast a couple weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, it's a very sweet song. I don't know if it's like a single. Like, this is like, but this is what I want to hear. It's like, this is just everything I want from 2015 Kanye. It's like melodramatic, and it has cool guest stars, and it's affecting, and it's just great. Like, he's, and we were talking about this yesterday, Erica, how he's like just not like a popular artist anymore in terms of like creating singles. Like he just doesn't seem to care. Like,
which surprises me because, you know, after Yeezus, it shouldn't surprise me, but he did an interview where he was talking about how, and he made the comparison that Yeezus was like his Bruce Springsteen Nebraska album, like a very like harsh, sparse affair, and that he was like, and so my next album has to be my Born in the USA, which, you know, of course, is like this Bruce Springsteen, like way commercial produced album, just stuffed with hits. And after he said that, I was like, okay, so we're going to get a return to like Radio Kanye, like Club Kanye. And this song is like nothing like, and of course, Only You is nothing like that. And this song isn't either. So I'm just kind of surprised how restrained it is. As I like the song, but I'm just wondering, like, basically, I'm wondering, did he lie in that interview? Or are we going to get like a like muted version of Yeezus? Or is this going to like actually have some singles on it?
I am maybe a god.
Yeah.
That's the muted version of Yeezus.
By the way, I have a 10-second snippet of I Am a God on my SoundCloud account just for Jason.
Yes.
And he plays that randomly.
Because it's the, I made Erica isolate the part where the voice of God goes, I am a God. Because there's nothing funnier.
What are you talking about?
No, it's Kanye featuring God. That's what that song
Kanye
is billed
is
as.
God. I don't understand. I wanted to go back as far as Kanye's this album. Jason's still laughing. I'm kind of very excited about this, not just because I'm a Kanye stan, but also he's been working with people that he's worked with for College Dropout, like, and his first couple three albums were like Pusha T, of course, but there's also now Q-Tip is back in the mix, and so is Consequence, and he has also these other Chicago rappers like Vic Mensa, and he's still working with Chief Keef, and you know, all these artists. So I think also in his latest interviews, at least the ones from his fashion show, he just seems to be more like, may I say, like down to earth. Like it's very like, I just want to make something for my actual fans and the people and like the kids from like whatever streets. Like it's I don't know, he just seems a little different. His approach seems a little different, so maybe he did mean what he said at that time, and I think he may have changed his mind. I mean, I like what I've been hearing, at least the two songs from the album, but
It'll be interesting to see. Like, I'm very interested to see how well like a new Kanye album will sell, if like this is the, because we exist in the world of like the blogosphere and people like, you know, like rap writers and music writers love what Kanye's doing. He's pushing boundaries, but it's not like Yeezus like sold very well, you know what I mean, like, and didn't really produce any huge hit singles. So I'm wondering, like, like Joe said, like, will this be a return to like, you know, the clubs, or maybe people like, maybe rap listeners, like younger rap listeners, have moved on to like Drake and Big Sean.
I mean,
like,
we're
I'm
in a
curious.
World where like Kendrick Lamar puts out these songs that are also not your usual radio friendly type of songs, and people love it. And I think it's now even more so about the message. Like even Drake's album, it's a lot about the message as well. And like we said, there aren't really radio friendly songs on that album. I do want to say though that the song that leaked like twice all day, that is supposed to feature Young Thug, does seem like it has like radio potential.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be Kanye if he didn't think about radio in some kind of way. I feel like he even did so on Yeezus, but he was trying to be rebellious. But I think that he really does think about that in some sort of capacity. Yeah. But I'll leave the Yeezus talk to Joe and Jason, because
I can't.
Yeah, there's no need to open that Pandora's box. But let's listen to it. So Kanye West featuring Sia and Vic Mensa, Wolves. All right, that was the new Kanye. Next up, let's talk about a very exciting return, which is Irish electric pop songstress Roisin Murphy.
Why
is
do we
back.
Wait to like the fifth song to discuss Roisin Murphy?
Maybe we can edit this podcast afterwards and make this, before I even introduce it, we'll just start talking about her. So, this is like, I'm just, so Roisin Murphy, her last album was in 2007, and it was called Overpowered. And, you know, it got some critical love, but it definitely flew under the radar. But it had some of the, like, absolute best pop songs
of that
year.
Man, I'm so happy you're so on board with Roisin Murphy.
And, you know, it was such a fantastic album, and it was a huge improvement on her solo debut. And after that, I was just like, all right, when's this next one coming out? And 8 years later, I finally got the answer. I know she had a kid in the meantime. She had like one or two songs come out, but it's been a long wait, and I'm extremely excited. So the new album is Hairless Toys, and she released one song from it called Gone Fishing, which is just, you know, it's a little laid back, but it's fantastic. I don't know, what do you think about it?
Yeah, it's, man, I'm just so pumped for this album. Like, for those who are listening to this and haven't checked out Overpowered by Roisin Murphy, which came out in 2007, and I agree with Joe, kind of flew under the radar. Like, just go do whatever you can to check that album out. I think it's on Spotify.
I think so. Yeah, it if just you wasn't... like Robin, like, you will...
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you like Robin, if you like Annie, if you like any of those kind of, like, mid-2000s, like, European pop female artists, like, you will love this. It's so good. And, I've been like you. It's funny because the other Roisin Murphy fan in the office is senior branding expert Andrew Hamp. And I was detached from the internet yesterday. It was President's Day. And he sent me an email that was just, the subject was OMG. And it was a link to Roisin Murphy's new song. I was like, So anyway,
it's an exciting time for three
people.
It's
an exciting time for three people in the office. Yeah, the new song's great. Like, it's just it's weird and it's wonderful and it gets me pumped. Like, I don't really even have that much to say about it. It's just like she's still kind of pushing the boundaries of what electropop is supposed to sound like, and they have all these kind of sound fragments, especially toward the end of the song, that kind of congeal into that hook again. It's you know, I just admire her, and I've missed her, and I'm glad she's back.
Yeah, I think you described it perfectly. Like, this is more of kind of like sonic electronic fragments put together. Like, this is not a single. You definitely get the sense that this was just kind of an album track, and she really has an incredible ability to kind of do both sides of the pop trick, which is have a really catchy but subtle, weird song, and then have a song that is like every bit as instantly hooky as an ABBA track. So yeah. I'm very excited for whenever her lead single comes out from this project. And even if, you know, even if she goes the more laid back route and there's no like major pop banger on this one, she is fantastic when she's being weird. Like, everything she's done is really great.
Yeah.
So, do you want to add something?
No, I got nothing else. I just... yeah, Roisin Murphy.
Definitely, yeah. If you haven't, check out Roisin Murphy, Overpowered.
Have you ever seen her live?
I've never seen her live.
She's only played one or two U.S. shows ever, and I made a point of seeing her when she played her New York show in like 2008 or 2009. Nice. It was so much fun.
Should have done that. But now, I guess, to 2015, hopefully.
Fingers crossed, man.
So this is Roisin Murphy. Oh, and by the way, if you're listening and you're figuring out how to Google it, her name is spelled O-R-I-S-I-N.
Yeah.
That's Irish Roisin. So Roisin Murphy, Gone Fishing.
There is no conclusion for the one. Stick tight. Nobody close to us. Recognize. Only exclusion.
All right, that was Roisin Murphy. Next and last, let us talk about Jason Pick, Moon King.
Yeah.
And the song is called Apocalypse.
Erica made a wincing face.
And I didn't know much about this artist. I'd seen the name around, hadn't really listened to this human duo. What are these people?
Duo, yeah. It's they're a Toronto-based duo.
I loved this. Like,
yeah.
It's just a really nice mixture of different styles. There's... kind of like the drumming has this kind of propulsive krautrock thing, but the guitar is like a fuzzy, it's like a really nice fuzzy catchy hook, and then the voice is very reminiscent of Billy Corgan. It has kind of like his sneer and snarl to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. So Moon King, yeah, like I said, is a duo out of Toronto. They've been on tour with Always, or
Alves. Yeah, I don't know how that's pronounced.
And they're going to be on tour later this year. They're kind of just starting out. They're songwriter Daniel Benjamin, and the singer is Maddie Wild. And yeah, I kind of stumbled upon this track via Spotify playlist, and I just loved it. And I've been listening to it a lot this week. For people who like Silver Sun pickups, like Lazy Eye, anything along those lines of it has that kind of soft, then loud kind of break in the middle. And yeah, it's just a very solid indie rock track. I say this a lot. I don't have that much to say about it. It's just a solid track. Like it's just really, I agree with you that I like the Maddie's voice does have that kind of snarl and squeal to mm-hmm. it that really perfectly suits the guitar on this track. And yeah, I mean, they had another single called Roswell that did pretty well. It's also worth listening to, but Apocalypse is the song we're talking about. It's just great, and it's pretty new, so check it out.
Yeah, I think it's just always really exciting when there's a new indie rock song that doesn't, I think a tendency of a lot of indie bands is just to make music that specifically sounds indie, and you get the sense that this is more just indie by default. Like they're actually drawing from like disparate, interesting musical genres. So yeah, let's listen to it. Moon King, Apocalypse. That was Moon King Apocalypse. Before we end the podcast, I wanted to give a shout out to a couple more things. So Kate Ooh. Pearson of the B-52s, who recently stopped by for an interview. Her album is out this week, Guitars and Microphones.
Check it out.
And yes, it's very fun. Sia co-wrote, I think, most, if not all, of the tracks. Mm. And we were talking a lot about Madonna recently. Her longtime backing vocalist, Donna DeLore, who sang on everything from like Who's That Girl, The Ray of Light, she had an album come out a couple years ago, kind of like out there ambient, like dance pop. Mm-hmm. And she's got a remix album called Universal Light Remixes from that last album. And it's very, it's interesting. Like it's mellow stuff, but it's cool to listen to because if you're a Madonna fan, like you know her voice from the background and to like hear her singing lead is a very interesting experience. So
there you go.
Two shout outs.
Shout out. Must hear shout outs.
And yeah, I don't know. So that thanks for stopping by, Jason.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear.
He's such a rapper with those shout outs.
I'm excited for next week's Must Hear Music podcast when we talk about more Drake.
More Drake.
Songs, more Kanye. And whatever. Maybe some Sam Smith and Adele. So
I hate you. I only hate Jason. I love everybody else. Thanks, Joe.
And thank you, Erica. All right. And thanks, everyone, for listening. If you have any recommendations, tweet them at us and have a great week.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.